Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mo's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on another beautiful afternoon in Oklahoma. It's about, 72, 73 degrees outside. Just a really, really nice day. But I'm ready to talk sports with you. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. That's MauriceTrice@hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at TheDukeBoy100. That's at TheDukeBoy100. You can also listen to my show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com. And I believe the show's on iTunes as well, but I'm not 100% sure on that. But anyway, those are the ways you can listen to the show. You can also like my Facebook page as well, if I didn't mention that. Mo's Sports Talk on Facebook. Just put in Mo's Sports Talk in the search. We have a special Tuesday show for you because we're going to be breaking down some more games in the NCAA tournament. We're going to be breaking down the East and the Midwest region. We'll have some special guests as well, giving us their Final Fours like we did yesterday. So we'll be doing that coming up in a couple of minutes. So get your brackets out, and we'll look at the East and the Midwest region. Before we do that, we can talk some NFL news. Martavis Bryant is going to be suspended for a year for failing a drug test. So that is a big blow to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's not going to appeal it. We talked about this yesterday. They still have some weapons, obviously, if they can get it healthy with Le'Veon Bell, they can get him healthy. I like the addition they made with Adarius Green at that tight end position, and they still have Antonio Brown. So they still have weapons, but that definitely hurts the Pittsburgh Steelers. Martavis Bryant being suspended for a year. Also, we have some big news today. Eric Weddle, he has signed a contract to play with the Ravens. He's getting older, but he's still an effective safety, so I think that's a nice pickle for the Ravens. And they also added Mike Wallace. They needed a down-the-field threat, and I think he's going to help the Ravens. So I like that pickup as well. C.J. Anderson's going to stay with the Broncos. They matched the offer that Miami Dolphins put on the table, so I was a little shocked that they matched the offer, but they definitely need to run the ball more effectively. The Broncos do, especially without obviously without Peyton Manning, but they just need to run the ball more effective. And C.J. Anderson's a solid running back, so maybe they didn't have any other options. They didn't feel like, so they did match that offer by the Dolphins. And the Patriots, they made a big trade today. They trade Chandler Jones to the Cardinals for offensive lineman Jonathan Cooper, and I like that move for the Patriots. Obviously, Chandler Jones is a talented player, but he was having some issues off the field, and they have some other players at his position. You talk about Rob Ninkovich and Geno Grissom. They have some other players that can fill in for him. They need a help on the offensive line. That is a number one priority need for the Patriots this offseason, was upgrading that offensive line, because Tom Brady was hit way too much in that Broncos game. That is a nice addition. Now, Jonathan Cooper hasn't lived up to his expectations out of college, but I still I like that pickup for the Patriots, getting him. They definitely needed to address that need, and they got that done with getting him. Also, we can shift gears here. We can also talk NBA from last night. Oklahoma City, they got a really, really nice win, whipping the Portland Trail Blazers 128-94. Seven Thunder players were in double figures, and that's really when the Thunder are at their best, when it's not just Westbrook and Durant scoring most of the points, when they're getting that balanced scoring. Westbrook, he did have a triple-double, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. He was just efficient. Kevin Durant, he scored 20 points. He didn't shoot the ball great. He was 6-15, but he only had two turnovers, and that's big for his Kevin Durant's been struggling to not turn the ball over. Enes Kanter was big off the bench. 26 points and 7 rebounds for Enes Kanter. When he plays better defense, he'll get more time. Sometimes his defense is just bad. He does need to, offensively, you got to have him on the floor because he can score around the basket. He has really good post moves. He can shoot the mid-range jumper. But defensively, sometimes it's just bad. But a good sign for the Thunder was Anthony Morrow hitting three threes, scoring 11 points. That's big. The Oklahoma City definitely needs to get Anthony Morrow going. He can definitely be a difference maker for Oklahoma City, knocking down the three-point shot. He helps and floor spacing. So that would be nice that Oklahoma City can get him going. The Thunder shot 59% last night. They were 9-17 from three. Again, only attempted 17 threes. Don't settle for that outside shot. Attack and get to the basket. And that's what they did last night. They were also plus 13 on the glass. And I told you yesterday that they needed to do work on the glass against Portland. And they did that. Damian Lillard scored 21 points, but Lillard and C.J. McCollum, they shot a combined, I believe it was 11 for 31. They didn't shoot the ball well at all. And as a team, they shot just 34% and 7-27 from the three-point line. So excellent Thunder defense. Now, they did it for one game. Let's see if they can take that defensive effort on this East Coast road trip that's coming up for Oklahoma City, which starts tomorrow in Boston. That'll be key for Oklahoma City. Also last night, Utah upset Cleveland 94-85. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love struggled again offensively. They did not shoot the ball well at all. And after hitting 18 threes on Sunday, they were only 10 of 42 from the three-point line. 42 threes is just way too many three-point attempts. Get to the basket. Get to the basket. If you're a Cleveland fan, you got to be upset about that. 42 threes, that's ridiculous. Rodney Hood, he scored 23 points for Utah in that victory. He shot the ball really well. So a tough way for Cleveland to close out their road trip. But they were 3-1 on this road trip, so still not bad. They're still leading the East. And then finally, the Warriors, they moved to 60-6 last night. They whipped the Pelicans 125-107. Curry was his normal efficient self. Draymond Green played really well, so a nice victory there for the Warriors. They're still without Andre Iguodala. He's going to be out for another week or so, and that could hurt them looking ahead to Saturday's big matchup against the San Antonio Spurs. They're trying to go into San Antonio. You know, they're undefeated. The Spurs are undefeated at home, and the Warriors are trying to put a loss on their record, and that's going to be really tough with that Andre Iguodala. The Warriors without Andre Iguodala, they're easier to defend. They're not easy to defend, but they're easier to defend when they don't have that lineup of death that they like to call it. And the Spurs have been playing great all season long. I like the Spurs in this matchup. I think Kawhi Leonard, he's going to get the job done at both ends of the court. LaMarcus Aldridge is playing at a really, really high level. I like the Spurs at home, especially with the Warriors being without Andre Iguodala. But betting against the Splash Brothers and Golden State is tough to do, but I'm going to go with the Spurs on Saturday night. We'll definitely talk about that on my next show next week, guys. Well, don't forget there will be no show on Friday. I'll be in Oklahoma City watching the NCAA tournament, guys, will, so no show on Friday. But right now we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from the Fast and Furious 6 soundtrack, and then when we come back, we're going to break down the East and the Midwest in the NCAA tournament. Don't forget, yesterday we broke down the South and the West. We broke down those two regions on yesterday's show, and I'll recap who I think is going to win each region before we break down the East and the Midwest. So get your brackets out. We'll be breaking down those two regions. And also we have a special guest, Dick Vitale, is going to stop by and give us his final four predictions. We'll do all that after we listen to some music from the Fast and Furious soundtrack. We'll do all that next. Sports Talk.
Sean Khalid from Man.
Money's the motivation, money's the conversation. You on vacation, we getting paid, so we on vacation. I did it for the fam. It's whatever we had to do, it's just who I am. Yeah, it's the life I chose. Gunshots in the dark, one eye closed. And we got it cooking like a one eye stove. You can catch me kissing my girl with both eyes closed. Perfecting my passion, thanks for asking. Couldn't slow down, so we had to crash it. You use plastic, we bout cash. I see some people ahead that we gon' pass, yeah.
I never feared death for dying. I only fear never trying. I am whatever I am. Only God can judge me now. One shot.
Oh, are you serious? It's me, it's Dicky B, baby. Oh, I love this time of year. I'm going crazy. My BDI, my ball don't index, is going off. It's saying, oh, it's March Madness, baby. I love it. But let me get right down to it. The Final Four. Oh, this year is kind of easy, baby. It's kind of easy. Oh, in the South, I'm taking the Kansas Jayhawks. They're going to be partying in Lawrence. They're going to make it to the Final Four. Bill Self. Oh, he's a big-time coach, ladies and gentlemen. And then in the West, I'm going to take the Sooners. Oh, I know Mo's his show's in Oklahoma. I know they're going crazy. The Sooners are going crazy. Bobby. That's what I'm going to take. Oh, Lon Kruger, he's done a great job, baby. And Buddy Hill, he's a triple M man. He's magical. He's marvelous. He's magnificent, baby. Oh, in the East, I'm going to take the North Carolina Tar Heels. Oh, they got so much size, baby. They're just big, big, big. Oh, they got a lot of size. I'm sorry, BN, the Bleak Blue Nation. But North Carolina is going to reign supreme in the East. And the... Oh, in the Midwest, I'm going to go with, I'm going with Michigan State, baby. Oh, and then when it's all said and done, it's going to be the Michigan State Spartans who cut down the nets in Houston, baby. But let me give it back to Mo. He's a triple S man. He's super scintillating, sensational. He's getting a little older. He's not a diaper dandy anymore, baby.
Well, thank you, Dick Vitale, stopping by, giving us his predictions, who he believes is going to go to the Final Four. So we'll see if that works out for Michigan State. That's a pretty popular pick. Don't forget, if you want to talk about the NCAA tournament or anything else going on in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. But yesterday we broke down the South and the West region. I picked Kansas to come out of the South, and I picked Oregon to come out of the West. And let's look at the East region. We have North Carolina taking on the 16th seed. Oh, look, Fairleigh Dickerson and Florida Gulf Coast are about to play right now. It's just tipped off. Whoever wins that game, they're going to be in a world of hurt. We'll move UNC to the second round there. Then we have an 8-9 matchup that's really intriguing between USC and Providence. We'll look at USC. They really struggled towards late in the season. They really struggled. And they don't shoot the ball well, especially from the outside. They only shoot 38% from the field. And defensively, they gave up 74.5 points per game. They have a lot of athletes. They're a really athletic team. Benny Boatwright can knock down the three. But they struggle at – they're a solid rebounding team. We'll look at Providence. Now, they really struggled, too, towards the end of the season as well. They were better in the conference tournament, but they're led by maybe arguably the best point guard in college basketball, and Chris Dunn, and Ben Bentel is a star as well. He can really score. And Providence is just a tough physical team. They don't shoot the ball well. They only shoot 42% from the field. That could hurt them against USC. But I'm going to go with Providence. I just think Providence is a tough-minded team. I like them to advance to the second round. Then we have a 5-12 matchup in the East between Indiana and Chattanooga. Indiana, I've never seen a team improve so much defensively from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. They were really impressive. And also, they were 11th in points per game. They can really score the basketball, and they can really shoot the basketball as well, led by Yogi Ferrell and Troy Williams. Thomas Bryant gives them an inside presence. Chattanooga is a really dangerous team. Obviously, that 12-5 matchup is always interesting. They do a great job with their ball movement. They only allow points per game, but they struggle at times to score the basketball. I think that could be an issue because Indiana is going to get buckets, and they've improved defensively. And, hey, everybody wants to see Indiana versus Kentucky in the next round. So, for Chattanooga fans, I'm going to move Indiana over into the second round. Then we have a 4-13 matchup in the East between Kentucky and Stony Brook. Stony Brook is led by Jamal Warney, who scored 43 points in their league championship game. He's the reason why Stony Brook is making their first appearance into the NCAA tournament. But when we look at Kentucky, their backcourt is playing at a high level. Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray, Isaac Briscoe is doing a good job defending. The issue for Kentucky is going to be their front court. Where are they going to get out of their front court with Alex Poitras and Skyle Labissiere? They're a solid defensive team, but they're okay. They're not a great defensive team. They do a really good job on the boards. I think Stony Brook's going to have a hard time competing on the glass with Kentucky. I'm going to move Kentucky over to the second round. And then we have a 6-11 matchup between Notre Dame and whoever wins between Michigan and Tulsa, and I would pick Michigan to beat Tulsa. I'm rooting for Tulsa, but I think Michigan will beat Tulsa. And this is a very, very dangerous game for Notre Dame. Notre Dame struggles defensively. They were 147th in points allowed, but they have a lot of offensive weapons. You talk about Demetrius Jackson and Steve Asturia and also Zach August. I'm going to pick Notre Dame in this one, but that is a very, very dangerous game for the Fighting Irish potentially. Then we have a 3-14 matchup that's really intriguing between West Virginia and Stephen F. Austin. West Virginia, also known as Press Virginia, they do a great job of forcing turnovers. And always the key when you play West Virginia is you have to limit turnovers, obviously, and also you have to do a great job of keeping them off the offensive glass. They were fourth fourth in the nation in rebounding. They do a great job on the glass, and they were 53rd in the nation in points allowed. For Stephen F. Austin, they struggle to rebound the ball. I think that could be the difference. They do a great job of turning you over. They have balanced scoring. Thomas Walker is a solid player. They're one of the best teams with their ball moving. They average 19 assists per game, 13th in points allowed. So they do a solid job defensively. Stephen F. Austin could have upset West Virginia, but I'm going to go with the tough-minded West Virginia team. I like them, so I'm going to go with West Virginia to beat Stephen F. Austin. Then we have a really intriguing 7-10 matchup in the East between Wisconsin and Pittsburgh. We look at Wisconsin. They really finished off the season in a great way. They were really good offensively. Nigel Hayes and Brunson Caning, and they do a great job defensively. They were 26th in points allowed. Now, they struggle to rebound the ball, and that could be an issue for them against Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh does a great job of rebounding the ball. They're a really tough physical ACC team. They allowed those 79 points per game. I'm going to take the better defensive team and the more efficient team in Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin to advance there. Then we have a 2:15 matchup between Xavier and Weber State. Well, we don't have to talk too much about this. I think it's going to be a really long game for Weber State. Xavier has a lot of talent, so I like Xavier to advance there. So let's move Xavier on. So then we have a second-round potential matchup of UNC and Providence. This is a really, really tough-minded, physical Providence team. North Carolina is going to have to come to play, especially on the defensive end. But Providence struggles to shoot the basketball. That Chris Dunn versus Joel Berry and Marcus Page match is going to be very interesting. And Ben Bentel, who they put on Ben Bentel, maybe what, Justin Jackson. They can throw some guys at him, but can Providence keep North Carolina off the offensive glass? I don't see that. I like North Carolina to advance in a tough physical matchup there and advance to the Sweet 16. Then we have a matchup that everybody wants to see potentially in Kentucky versus Indiana. They don't play each other in the regular season anymore, so everybody wants to see this matchup. Indiana can really score the basketball, but I think Kentucky is a better defensive team. I think that'll be the difference in that game. Both fan bases will travel. It'll be a crazy atmosphere, but I like Kentucky to advance to the Sweet 16 in that matchup. And then we have Notre Dame taking on West Virginia. You know, Notre Dame can spread you out and they can shoot the three, but I think West Virginia will force turnovers. I think they'll get the game at their pace. I like West Virginia. Sometimes West Virginia really struggles to shoot the basketball, but I like West Virginia to advance and to the Sweet 16. Then we have Wisconsin taking on Xavier. When we look at Xavier again, they struggled defensively. They were 153rd in points allowed, but they did a great job of scoring the basketball, and they an excellent rebounding team. I think just a little too athletic for Wisconsin, so I'm going to move Xavier to the Sweet 16 here. Let's move them over. And then we have a Sweet 16 matchup of North Carolina taking on Kentucky. What a great potential Sweet 16 matchup that'll be. I think the difference will be North Carolina's front court. I know Kentucky's back, they have an advantage in the backcourt with Tyler Lewis and Jamal Murray over Marcus Page and Joel Berry, even though they've been playing better as of late. But I think the real difference is going to be the front court of North Carolina. Bryce Johnson, Kennedy Meeks, Isaiah Hicks. I think that'll be the difference on North Carolina to advance to the Elite Eight. And then we have Xavier taking on West Virginia. This will be a great Sweet 16 matchup. I think Xavier will do a great job of not turning the ball over and keeping West Virginia off the offensive glass. I think that'll be the difference. Maybe West Virginia will go a little cold there. I like Xavier to advance to the East Regional Final. So in the East, we have number one seed North Carolina taking on the two Xavier. I'm going to go with North Carolina. Xavier is a nice story. They have a lot of talent. Trayvon Blue is playing at a high level, but North Carolina has the most upside of any team in the country. They have so much talent. They bring it. If they play like they did in the ACC tournament, they should make it to the Final Four. I like UNC to advance to the Final Four. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. We can talk NBA. We can talk college basketball. Anything in the world of sports. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down the Midwest region. But before we do that, we do have two special guests are going to stop by, the former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and The Rock is going to stop by as well to make their national champion picks. I don't even think they're going to make Final Four picks. They're just going to make national championship picks. And after that, we'll break down the Midwest region. We'll do all that next on Moose Sports Talk.
yeah, I want to just pick my national champion. I don't have much time, but I want to pick the national champion. I'm going to go to North Carolina. Just North Carolina, they're really tough. They're really physical. They're not like the other teams in the tournament who are puny. They don't want us to waste and everything of that nature. I've told you I'll be back, and I've told you I'm going to pick North Carolina. It's been a long time, but I like tough, strong teams, and they're really strong. They lift the weights like me. These other teams, they're too puny. They're like the puny Democrats in Washington. They don't want to lift the weights and everything of that nature. So I'm going to go with North Carolina. But I see The Rock here. He wants to make his prediction. So I'm going to give it to The Rock. Finally, The Rock has come back to Moe's Sports Talk. The Great One says this. You want to talk college basketball? The Great One says this. He knows college basketball like the back of his hand. But the Great One says this. Make no mistake about it. It's going to be Michigan State that's going to win the national championship with Denzel Valentine. But The Rock says this. Anyone who thinks The Rock doesn't know basketball, he just knows football because he played at the U. The Great One says this. He'll take his size 12 boot, shine it up real nice, and stick it straight up your candy tail. Have you smell what The Rock is cooking? Well, thank you, Rock. Wow, being here, Rock was a little angry there. So he's going to Michigan State, and the former governor of California is going with North Carolina. So we'll see how those predictions work out for them. But let's look at the Midwest quickly. We only have about 8 minutes left in the show. We have Virginia taking on Hampton. I love Hampton's band, but that's about it for Hampton. I think Virginia, you know, the most likely number one seed to lose to me in the first round is Virginia. Hampton has some athletes. But it's not going to happen. I like Virginia to advance there. Then we have an 8-9 matchup between Texas Tech and Butler. Texas Tech had a really nice season in the Big 12, led by Tydrick Gotcher. But they were only 195th in points per game. They were 127 in points allowed. They had some nice wins in the Big 12, but Butler has a lot of talent. You talk about Roosevelt Jones and also Kellen Dunham. They can really score. They were 22nd in the nation in points per game. They struggled defensively. Texas Tech's the better defensive team. Usually I go with the better defensive team, but in this instance I'm going to go with Butler. So let's move Butler over in that. Then we have a really intriguing 5-12 matchup between Purdue and Arkansas Little Rock. Purdue is a really tough physical team. They were 53rd in points per game. They were 10th in rebound in the nation, and they were 25th in points allowed. So they are a solid defensive team. They have a 7-footer in A.J. Hammonds, another 7-footer in Isaiah Hawes, and a 6'9 guy in Caleb Swanigan. Their front court is one of the best in the nation. The key for them is what they're going to get from their guards. Arkansas Little Rock is a nice story. They're a balanced team, but they were 286th in the nation in rebounding. That'll get you beat down against Purdue. So I like – they're a solid defensive team, but I like Purdue in that matchup. So let's move Purdue here. We have a game that's going to be if you like scoring, if you like offense, you're going to love the 4-13 matchup in the Midwest between Iowa State and Iona. Iowa State's led by George Niang and Monte Morris. George Niang came back to school to a win in the NCAA tournament, so it would be sad to see him lose. They were 15th in points per game, but they were 257th in the nation in points allowed. For Iona, they're led by A.J. English, who can really score the basketball, one of the best guards in the country. They are 31st in points per game, so they can really score the basketball, but they were really bad as well. They're a little better stat-wise than Iowa State, but I think Iowa State's a little tougher than Iona. I think they find a way. They're not as deep, and this could be an upset. Make no mistake about it, but I'm going to go with Iowa State in that one. Then we have Seton Hall taking on Gonzaga. Gonzaga, they have an advantage on the inside with Sabonis and Kyle Wilchers. They definitely have an advantage there. They're a better defensive team. They were 66th in the nation in points allowed. They only gave us 66 points per game, or Seton Hall gave 76 points were allowed, but I love their backcourt led by a Whitehead, and they were 27th in rebounding. I think they'll do a good job of keeping Gonzaga off the offensive glass. This is going to be a great matchup, but I'm going to go with Seton Hall to advance there. Let's move there. And then we have a 3-14 matchup between Utah and Fresno State. Utah is just solid, led by Jacob Poeltl. Their big man on the inside, Brandon Taylor, is a really good player. Also, Jordan Loveridge. Kyle Kuzma can knock down the three. For Fresno State, they're led by that really good guard in Harris.
but they're not a great defensive team. They do steal the ball. They average 8.2 steals per game, so maybe they can get into Utah defensively on the perimeter, but I just think Utah is too physical, too good. I like Utah to advance there. Then we have a 7-10 matchup between Dayton and Syracuse. When we look at Dayton, they have a good backcourt. You talk about Scoochie Smith and Deshaun Perry, is a really solid player for them. Syracuse, some people are saying, is fortunate enough to be in the tournament. Michael Benajay is a really good player, and also Trevor Cooney can knock down a three. You also have to face that 2-3 zone. Dayton at times struggles to shoot the basketball, and if this game is close, Dayton struggles to shoot from the free throw line. I like Syracuse to upset Dayton. And then the 2-15 matchup, Michigan State versus Middle Tennessee State. Yeah, good luck, Blue Raiders. I like Michigan State in that one. So then we have a matchup in the second round between Virginia and Butler. Again, Virginia, watch out. But I think Virginia's defense will be the difference in this basketball game. They'll make enough shots to outlast Butler. I like Virginia to advance in that one. And then we have Purdue taking on Iowa State. This will be a great 4-5 matchup, but Purdue, to me, is a better rebounding team, and also they're a deeper team and they're a better defensive team. I like Purdue to beat Iowa State. Sorry, George Niang, but if you win a game, at least you did better than you did last year. If you're Iowa State, and if you're an Iowa State fan, you'll be happy. Hey, at least they won one game. Last year they lost to a 14 seed in the first round. Then we have Seton Hall taking on Utah, a 6-3 matchup. Look, I really love this backcourt of Seton Hall. They're going to have a hard time with Jacob Poeltl. Maybe they can get him in some early foul trouble, but I'm going to go with Seton Hall in the upset. So let's move Seton Hall to the Sweet 16. And then we have Syracuse taking on Michigan State. You know Syracuse is going to throw out that 2-3 zone. Michigan State, though, is really, really efficient. They're one of the most offensive and defensive efficient teams in the country. I like Michigan State to advance to the Sweet 16. So then we have a 1-5 matchup between Virginia and Purdue. Both of these teams are really similar. They both play that physical style of defense, but I think Virginia will have a tough time on the glass against Purdue. The key for Purdue is, are they going to get some production from their backcourt? You talk about Edwards and Dakota Mathias, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, and also Johnny Hill. I like Purdue to upset Virginia and advance to the Elite Eight. Then we have Seton Hall taking on Michigan State. I think the Halls run will end there. Michigan State's just too good. Too good on the boards, and too good defensively. I like Michigan State to advance there. So, and then we have an Elite Eight matchup for me, a rematch of the Big Ten Championship game that we just saw on Sunday. And I think the winner again will be Michigan State. I think it'll be a close physical game, but I think Michigan State gets the job done. So my final four, I have Kansas versus Oregon and North Carolina versus Michigan State. The Kansas-Oregon matchup, I just think I'm going to go with the better defensive team. Also, Kansas does a great job of knocking down that outside shot. I think their perimeter defense will be a little too much for Oregon. So I'm going to go with Kansas to advance to the title game. And then we have North Carolina taking on Michigan State. Wow, that'll be a great Final Four matchup. Two really good coaches. Michigan State is more efficient than North Carolina. I know that, but I think the difference will be North Carolina's front court, their ability to dominate on the glass, even though Michigan State does a great job on the glass as well. This game, you can really flip a coin to pick this potential Final Four matchup, but for this show, I'm going to go with North Carolina. They have so much upside, so much potential, and they showed that in the ACC tournament. I was really impressed with them. So my championship game, we have Kansas taking on North Carolina. To me, the two of the best teams in the in the tournament, but I think only one can win. I'm going with the Kansas Jayhawks to beat North Carolina. I think Kansas will have a tough time against North Carolina on the glass with all the with their front court of Bryce Johnson and Kennedy Meeks. Sometimes Kansas struggles to score offensively in the front court, but I think Perry Ellis will have a good game, and they definitely have an advantage in the back court. I think they can turn over Joel Berry and also Marcus Page. I'm going to go with Kansas to win the national championship. So those are my picks. Thank you for listening to my show the last 2 days, my special NCAA tournament show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Don't forget my no show on Friday. My next show will will be on Monday. We'll talk about that. We'll look ahead to the Sweet 16. We'll also talk NBA. We'll talk NFL news as well. Any news that comes down, we'll talk about that as well. So have a blessed rest of the week. God is good. Trust in him, and we'll talk to you next time on Mo's Sports Talk.